I want to say good evening. Brother Brian has asked that we read from Ecclesiastes. We're going to be reading from chapter 11. We're going to read verse 9. And then we're going to drop down to chapter 12 and read verse 1. Beginning at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let us reverently kneel for prayer.
Good evening. We greet each one of you tonight in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight we'd like to look at perhaps more of a practical lesson. We'd like to think about decision making. How do we make good decisions in life? How do we make God-honoring decisions in life? The scripture has a lot to say about it. The scripture speaks of warnings, consequences for making bad decisions. Scripture speaks of blessings for making good decisions. Scripture talks about many, many men and women who made decisions, some good and some bad. We think of Abraham. He made a decision to follow God and leave his homeland. And by doing that, Scripture tells us all the nations of the earth were blessed by one man's decision to follow God's leading. Scripture tells us of a king, Rehoboam, had a decision to make, how he would treat his servants. He received counsel from older men, which he rejected. He received counsel from his peers, younger men, and he accepted that, led to a split kingdom. Scripture tells us of the Apostle Paul. I just forget what chapter, about 27 or 28. When he was on his trip to Rome, Paul warns the people on the ship. He said, I perceive that this trip will be vexed or be counted with much hurt and much damage. The centurion in charge, Scripture tells us, believed the pilot, believed the owner of the boat, and neglected Paul's counsel and launched out anyway, and you all know the story of Paul's shipwreck. Scripture also tells us how to make good decisions. You see, God does not let us to fumble along on our own. God tells us through His Word how to make good decisions. Life is just a series of decisions, isn't it? Some we make knowingly and some we make unconsciously or subconsciously, whatever you want to say, without thinking. I was reading an article on decision making and it said the average person makes in excess of 30,000 decisions every day. So many of them are made without thinking about it. Yet we realize there are many decisions that we make that are life-changing, life-altering decisions. Where we're going to live, what job we're going to take, large purchases, should we buy something or shouldn't we buy something? For you younger ones, you have to decide who you're going to date, who you're going to marry. We make decisions about health care. We make decisions about relationships. But God's Word is very practical. Very practical. and helping us make the decisions of life. We don't have to go it alone. God gives directions. God makes provisions for us. So this evening we'd like to look at ways to make good decisions. But before we do, if you have your Bibles open to Ecclesiastes, that portion of scripture that was read to you, we'd like to look briefly at that text and what we can learn from it about decision making. Ecclesiastes 11, looking at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that all these things God will bring thee into judgment. There's an interesting thing here about the two words and two uses of the word youth. They are different words. The first, youth, means more like childhood. And it's translated as childhood in verse 10. They're the same word. Verse 9 translated as youth. Verse 10 translated as childhood. Means immaturity. Immaturity. The second use of the word youth there, I believe, refers to a little older. Someone in what we might consider the prime of life. Someone full of energy and zeal and looking forward to the future. That conquering the world type of attitude. To both of these, God reminds us to be careful in the decisions that we make. Here the preacher says to rejoice in that. Rejoice in your youth. Rejoice in your energy. Rejoice in that time of life when you're able to go out and go forth with positive energy and zeal and zest for life. That's good and that's proper. Be happy in it. But yet there's a warning. There's a warning to be careful. Says, be careful when you walk in the ways of thine heart. The word ways there means impulses. It warns the youth and us, be careful of impulses. Be careful of impulsive decisions. It also warns us to be careful of walking in the sight of thine own eyes, to do what we think best. You see, the warning is here. For all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Some decisions that we make in youth, and why it falls in life that many important decisions are made when we were young, I don't know. But yet we're warned here of it. Yes, enjoy your youth, but be careful. Be careful of decisions that you make. Verse 10. Here we see the same pairing of the same words. For childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood. Youth here again means the prime of life. And this word for youth is connected with a black hair as opposed to gray hair. So it has the idea of a little older person than childhood. It says, if you wanted to avoid all the sorrows and vexations of life, if you want to live a holy and a godly life, if you want to live a life that is not wasted, tells us in chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. Remember you are accountable. The idea of a Creator carries with it an accountability, carries with it a responsibility. Carries with it the idea of submission. If you want to avoid a rough life later on, remember you have a Creator. Remember God now when you're making decisions in life, that you would make good and godly decisions. Goes on to say there in verse 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Before you have to suffer consequences of bad decisions, before the evil days come, before life gets old and you're stuck in a rut and a trap, before you live a life full of regrets, before you live a life with why on your lips, it says, remember now thy Creator. And the warning goes out just not to young people, but to us. When we're making decisions, remember. Remember we have a Creator. Remember God now. Consider your Creator when we make decisions in life. The warning is to be careful of acting on impulses. Impulses means decisions made without thinking. Decisions made in the moment. Decisions made without thinking of the ramifications or the results of that decision. These impulses are often made because of strong emotions, maybe even lusts and desires. Scripture warns us against making decisions based on impulses. It warns us here about making decisions based on our own desires in opposition to what God wants. What decisions are you faced with today? Maybe you're not facing any major decision, but maybe you're here as a friend, a father, a grandfather, and someone would come to you and ask for counsel. What would you tell them? Can you direct them on how to make good decisions? We'd like to look at four guidelines this evening, four considerations to help make good decisions in our lives. Before we look at these four, I'd like you to consider the idea, and it's so important, as keep this in mind as we look at this, the whole counsel of God. I want you to think about that phrase. You know, it's taken from Acts 20, when Paul says goodbye to the Ephesian elders there. He says, I have not failed to preach to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Looking at it from all different sides and in its completeness. Let's think about decisions we make and how we do it as accepting the whole counsel of God. Look at all the ways God speaks to us, all the ways God directs us. God directs us through His Word, doesn't He? God directs us through His Holy Spirit. God directs us through a council of godly people. And all these things are good, and they all should be looked at together, the whole counsel of God when we make a decision. That's important, and we'd like to look at some of the dangers of neglecting that as we go through these things. The dangers associated with neglecting the whole counsel of God as He's given it to us. With that in mind, we'd like to look at four scriptural considerations in making decisions in our life. The first one is, what is your motivation? What's your heart's desire? It's a good question to ask yourself when faced with a decision. We need to examine ourselves. What do we want out of this decision? Are we asking for God's will to be done? Or do we want what we want? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Or are we seeking our own desires? Do we recognize God's sovereign hand in life? Will we submit to His guidance? Will we submit to His guidance and to the will of God? Are we committing to obeying God wherever He sends and whatever He wills us to do, even if we don't agree with the decision that He makes? These are valuable questions to ask yourself when posed with any decision. I'm afraid all too often myself included, we pray and we seek God's will and we ask God to speak to us. And God does, and He gives us a clear answer, but we don't like it. We don't like it. It's not what we wanted to hear, and we reject it. All too often, God answers the prayer, and His answer just seems way too hard. You say, God, you're asking me to walk a road that's too hard. It's too much. The cost is too high, and we reject it. Can you see the hypocrisy of it all? To ask God for His will, to ask God for direction in the decisions of life, and then when it doesn't meet our expectations, to write it off and reject it because it's not what we wanted to hear. Scripture makes many promises to the one who is motivated, to the one that has true heart of submission and a desire to serve God. James 1, 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith and trust and belief. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You see, it says acknowledge him first, and then he'll direct your path. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. What precious promises do we have if our heart and our motivation are correct behind the asking for guidance? Consideration number one in the decision-making process is what is in your heart. Are you motivated with a desire to serve God and to do His will? It may be far, far from what we want to do. Consideration number two when making decisions. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? The Scripture speaks to many issues of life. I want to say all issues of life because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. The Scripture speaks to all issues of life. Turn to that familiar text, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know you know it, and you can probably quote it, but I draw your attention to it one more time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You've heard many sermons on this text. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means truth, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, completely equipped, under all good works. Every good decision that you make will line up with the Word of God. If it does not line up with God's Word, it is not a good decision. Every good decision that you make will line up with the Word of God. I use dating as an example. There are a few young people here this evening. Who should we date? Examine your motives is the first thing we talked about. Why do you want to date? Is it to find a mate for life, or is it to have a good time and maybe fulfill the lusts of the flesh? Examine your motives. Can you glorify God? Do you want a date to bring glory to God? Second thing we're talking about now is, does the Bible say anything about dating? We know it does. It says a lot about dating. It says a lot about relationships, intimate relationships, doesn't it? The one we go to immediately in 1 Corinthians is, beware of the unequal yoke. You're all familiar with it. So if you're considering dating someone who's not a believer, it's probably not a good decision. Beware of the unequal yoke. It goes on. Another thing it talks about is edification. Edification's taught clearly in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So we're to build each other up. Is the person you're considering dating, do they build you up in the faith? Do they build you up? Or are you a worse person, more ungodly, when you're around them? If they're not building you up in the faith, if they're not edifying you, but tearing you down, making your faith weaker, you probably shouldn't be dating them. What about Galatians 5:9? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Not strictly speaking about dating, but certainly about intimate relationships. If you're considering dating someone living in sin, I'm not talking about making a mistake or falling short from time to time, not being perfect. I'm not talking about that. But living in willful, unrepented sin, you probably shouldn't be considering dating them. You see, the Bible speaks about this topic and many of the others. What we buy, the Bible has a lot to say about what we buy, how we spend our money. All these things Scripture speaks to and helps us make good and godly decisions. Remember, we were speaking about the whole counsel of God. Taking into account what the Bible says, what the Holy Spirit says, what counsel we receive from others. What is the potential danger? I want you to think about it. What's the danger of just going without taking in the whole counsel of God? What's the danger of just basing a decision on what the Bible says? Is there a danger? I think it is. You see, the danger is not what the Bible says, but how we interpret it. There can be a danger in that. And I hear it from time to time. People quoting Scripture to defend their position, and it's interpreted wrong. Perhaps it's taking out of context. We need to be very careful about that. We need to be very careful because we can point to places in Scripture where the same thing is done, can't we? We think of Satan tempting our Lord in the wilderness. Uses Bible verses. That's why we have to think about the whole counsel of God. I tell you, one of the worst things you can do when you make a decision is to have your mind made up and then look for Scripture to back it up. That's dangerous. But we find ourselves doing that from time to time. Even ministers sometimes find themselves doing that to prepare a sermon. We have our sermon made up and we go and study and pull verses out of context to support our point. There's a danger in that. Be careful. The Bible is there to help us make good decisions. But when we use that without using all the other ways that God has given us to make good decisions, there can be a danger in it. Third consideration in making decisions, godly decision, is allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to guide us. One of his purposes is to guide us. Guide us to all truth. Guide us through the decisions of life. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through God's Word, the Bible. The Holy Spirit speaks to us while we're in prayer and meditation. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through our conscience. Turn, if you would, to John 14. Again, these are familiar verses to you. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I want to draw your attention to a couple words in these verses. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Comforter is paraclete. You're familiar with that word. It's one who comes alongside of us, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is one of his jobs is to guide us into all truth, whom the Word cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Drop down to chapter 15, verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. I want you to pay close attention to those words. The Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus Christ and his Father. Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. One of the reasons I read this is for to drive the point home to you that the message is always the same. God's message, Jesus' message, the Holy Spirit's message, Scripture, they always speak as one. Always speak as one. That's an important truth to grasp when we're thinking about allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. There's a danger in just being led by a spirit. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit, but there is a danger and being led by a spirit alone, and you take that as your only source of counsel. Because there's more than one spirit in the world. There's more than one voice that speaks to us. There's a real war that goes on in our minds, a spiritual warfare, a real danger. Scripture speaks about testing the spirits to see if they are from God. Second Corinthians 10:5 speaks of that battle for our mind. Tells us, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to test the spirits. Not everything that goes through your mind is inspired by the Holy Ghost. not everything that goes through my mind, not every thought, not every idea. Does it line up with the Word of God? An example that I hear from time to time, and I'm certain you've heard it too. The Holy Spirit led me to take off my covering. Now I'm free. Did you ever hear that? It's not true. It is not true. They're being led by a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. You need to be able to tell if the Spirit's leading you is a spirit of error or the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to God's word. Never. Never. We make good decisions in life when we examine our motives, when we seek counsel from God's word, when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And number four and lastly, we make good decisions when we seek counsel and advice of others. Something sorely lacking in the world today. The humbleness to ask counsel from someone else. God speaks to us through other people. He directs us through other people. The scripture is clear on that. It's example after example. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain under wise counsels. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 12:15, the way of fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto the counsel is wise. Are you humble enough to take counsel of others? Godly people are put in our lives for a reason. We think of the gifts of a church and the members of the church. You know, some are given to helps, the ability to come alongside us. Some are given the gift of administration. I believe that means guidance. Give us counsel. It's part of being a part of the body of Christ. Yet all too often, myself included, we prefer to go it alone. And perhaps we miss out on one of the greatest sources of God helping us make a decision, is the counsel of others. So what's the danger? It must come to your mind. What's the danger when you start accepting counsel from others? It's a good thing, we need to do it, but what is the danger? You get bad advice. There's a real danger, isn't it, from taking counsel from others? Danger is we can take unwise counsel. There's a danger when we only ask people who think what we do. I'd much rather seek advice from someone who's, I know how they're going to answer and it agrees with what I want. Wouldn't you? But there's a danger in that. When we only ask people who think like we do, who agree with us, perhaps our friends, and it's easier for them to tell us what we want to hear. There are times in life when we need to hear what we don't want to hear. That's the kind of friend you need. There's danger in counsels when we ask for the wrong reason. When we ask a person that's ungodly, it's probably not a good idea. We need to ask people for counsel that are seeking God's will, that are living a life walking with God. We probably should be a little careful in asking for counsel for somebody who has an agenda and trying to draw more people onto their side. There's a danger in that. We probably should be careful of asking counsel of people who don't really love us. And when I'm talking about love, I don't mean telling us what we hear. I mean loving us enough to challenge us, to disagree with us, to tell us we're wrong. I'm so thankful I have people in my life, friends, that love me enough to tell me when I'm out of line. You see, these are real dangers that we need to keep in mind when we ask counsel of other people. That's why we need to look at the whole counsel of God. Does the counsel they give line up with the Holy Spirit's leading? Does the counsel they give line up with the Word of God? I was reminded of an account in Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know how many here are fans of Pilgrim's Progress. I find the more I read it, the more it lines up with life. Pilgrim's Progress, there's an account in there called Beware the Flatterer. The flatterer is someone who deceives you, maybe tells you what you want to hear. There's an account in there where Christian and Hopeful are going down the path to the celestial city, and they come to a Y in the road, and they don't know which way to go. They have to make a decision. And there's a man there who's disguised, looks like an angel of light. He's wearing light, flowing garments. He looks beautiful. And he gives Christian and Hopeful advice. And that advice leads them into a trap, a net, and they found all too late that they've been led astray. But you know, the part that rings in my ears, while they're caught in that net, it comes to their mind. There was a man, and it's called the shepherd, that told him, beware of this man called the flatterer. And he gave him a book that told him how to walk and which way to go. Counsel's good, counsel's needed. But we need to be very careful that aligns with the book that we've been given. Tonight we looked at four considerations in making good and godly decisions. One, what is our motive? Do we really want what God wants, is what it boils down to? Or do we want our own way? Number two, have we consulted God's word, scripture? They're words of life. They're given to be lamp and light to our feet. Number three, have we allowed the Holy Spirit to guide us? Have we spent time in prayer and seeking God's will and listening for the Holy Spirit's to guide us? Number four, have we taken godly counsel and advice? In making a good decision, these four should line up. If one of them is out of place and doesn't line up with the other four, I'd be wary. I ran across a story that shows that point very much. The story was about a very difficult harbor for a ship to anchor in. There were rocks and there were sandbars and treacherous shoals. that a ship could very easily get caught up on. And a passenger on that ship saw all the dangers, and he asked the pilot of the ship, he said, "How do you navigate these treacherous waters? How do you do it? How do you bring the ship safely into shore?" And the pilot said, "There are three lights on the shore. Three lights. And I navigate and maneuver the ship until all three lights line up as one light." And he knows, he says, that's the way into safely to the shore. When all three lights look like one light to me, I have them in line. That's a channel to go into shore. We can learn a lot from that story. As you think about how God speaks to us, the whole counsel of God, does it all line up? Are our motivations right? Have we searched the scriptures for guidance? Have we allowed the Holy Spirit to direct us? And have we taken counsel of other godly people? If they all line up, probably it's a good decision, and you can go safely forward. May God bless you.